we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Oh, good Thursday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in once again to WMIE 91.5 FM and to the Refresh Radio program brought to you by the Saints at Merritt Assembly of God. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God and the wonderful folks there, and I am so thankful for them. We got a baptismal service that we're going to be scheduling here. That's always exciting. While I was away, we had people giving their heart to Jesus, and that was exciting. This last week, we had a large portion of our congregation that was committing themselves to stretching for and reaching for and working for the kingdom of God's benefit in 2018. And so we're looking to change our mindset and change our activities. I'm not looking for contraction. I'm looking for stretching for the glory of God. And so that's what we have got coming up. And we are just thankful to be able to spend this part of the day with you, and hope that you are having a great journey today, and preparing now for your worship experience on Sunday morning. I want to take you to 2 Chronicles this morning, chapter 19. 2 Chronicles chapter 19. On yesterday's broadcast, we were talking about the high priest Jehoiada, who had been very faithful to preserve the life of the king when he was the only one of the royal family that was not killed. I'm very thankful for that. I'm also thankful for his financial guidance of the king, or his spiritual guidance for the king, who was a very young man when he came to the throne. But he had areas of his life that were not pillars of faithfulness. And you and I, I pray that as we're looking at this fruit of the Spirit, that we would see that it is not just faithfulness in one arena, one compartment of our life, but it is faithfulness that covers the panoramic view of our life, that no matter where the camera points, that the people of God would be seen as faithful. So as we talked about that yesterday, we were talking about that the people had been faithful to give, but the Jehoiada and his subordinates had not been faithful to do the work. And so there was a restructuring that took place. There was a different process that was initiated to handle the finances, and they put people in charge that were faithful to compensate those who were doing the work. Now, today we're going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 19. This is dealing with Jehoshaphat. And it says in verse number 1, "Then Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned safely to his house in Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to Jehoshaphat, 'Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Therefore, the wrath of the Lord is upon you. Nevertheless, good things are found in you, in that you have removed the wooden images from the land and have prepared your heart to seek the Lord.'" There's a couple of points in there that are just phenomenal. So Jehoshaphat was generally one of the more godly kings, but he kept wanting to enter into alliances with the king of Israel One of them was Ahab, and then with Ahab's son. And finally, the prophet says, should you enter into those, should you help those who are not walking in obedience to the Lord, they have no love for the Lord, they have set themselves in opposition to the Lord, why should you enter into alliance with those? I want to encourage you, be careful who you enter into agreement with. You need to make sure that you have the same moral foundation. You need to enter into someone that has the same work ethic. You need to enter into agreement with people who have the same objectives and that they're going to glorify God with you. Be careful. You know, Christians have a tendency to want to be liked by everybody. The reason that I know that is because I was he. I just wanted to get along with everybody. I'm not a person who really thrives and enjoys on confrontation, but I have gotten to the point where I realize that sometimes you've just got to deal with some serious matters. Not dealing with something is not healthy. And so I remember when I was in college that there was a person, and I was blend into the background, a relatively forgettable individual for the most part. But I just wanted to get along with people. And if I saw something wrong, I would talk out about it. But I just wanted people to like me. And this friend of mine got mad at me about something he had, you know, that was completely fabricated in his mind. There was no legitimacy to it whatsoever. And I realized at that point in time that there's always going to be some people that you're not going to be able to get along with. So you've got to walk in agreement with those who agree to walk together in the spirit of unity. So, light and darkness do not operate from the same foundation. So be sure that you are careful about who you enter in to agreement with. It goes on and it says, you know, there's some good things that God has found in you because you have removed the idols from the land. That's a good thing. Be faithful to remove the things from your life that God wants removed. I'll talk about that here a little bit more. And then he goes on and he says, and you have prepared your heart to seek God. Now, most people, when they come to church, they get up, they brush their teeth, they shave, they comb their hair, they take a shower, they put on their clothes, they prepare themselves physically. But I want to ask you, how much heart preparation do you put in to maybe not just church? Let me sidetrack from church just a minute. How much heart preparation do you put in before you go to work? Because you're a priest of the Most High God. 1 Peter 2:9 says that you are a royal priesthood, a chosen nation, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Okay? You're a peculiar people. You and I, we weren't meant to necessarily fit in. We're not supposed to fit in with those who are in a traffic flow to destruction, if you will. We're supposed to be going against the flow because we're trying to get people to turn around and repent of their sins and pursue righteousness and their life with Jesus Christ. So how much preparation are you going to put in to make sure your heart is right when you go into work? I can tell you around my house that the ladies in my house, they put a great deal of heart preparation in before they go to work of a morning. It's not just all of the mundane things of fixing lunches and fixing breakfasts and coffee and hair and makeup and all that, but they're all preparing their heart to be an ambassador for Christ. And that's in a in three different work environments. They want to represent Jesus well. Now let's bring it to church. How much heart preparation do you put in before you come to the house of the Lord? That's something that I take pretty seriously, is I want to make sure that I've studied, that my heart and my mind are prepared. I want to make sure that I've prayed and sought the Lord so that what I say is comes across as thus saith the Lord, not thus saith Bob. Thus saith Bob won't get anybody anywhere, but thus saith God causes things to take place in the heavenly. So make sure that you prepare yourself. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. I know a pastor that before he goes to the pulpit, he takes communion every time he goes to the pulpit, because he knows that communion with Christ is what's going to cause the issue of life to flow through him to those who are in desperate need of it. So back to the word of God. So Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again among the people from Beersheba to the mountains of Ephraim and brought them back to the Lord God of their fathers. Then he set judges in the land throughout all the fortified cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, take heed to what you are doing, for you do not judge for man, but for the Lord who is with you in the judgment. Now therefore, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take care and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, no partiality, nor taking of bribes. So Jehoshaphat takes this correction and he says, you know what? I'm going to travel throughout the land. I am going to set up jurisdictions where judges are going to be in place, and I'm going to command them that what they do is they judge not for man, but they judge for the Lord. And you know, every one of us should realize that the things that we do are supposed to be for the glory of God. Whether we eat, whether we drink, do it for the glory of God. Whatsoever things you do, do it for the glory of God. And when you are judging, when you have been set up as a representative of the king, and the king as God's man of authority for that hour, then you need to operate not according to your own premises and not according to your own feelings, but you have to realize that you are representing God. And the word says here, this is God's right there with you. It says, who is with you in the judgment. Okay? I don't know if you have ever been in one of those situations where a person was there with you and you did something and they just gave you a look that said, really? You think that's the way that I would handle this situation? Can you imagine being a judge, an appointed judge throughout the land, and as you are sitting there hearing the case, you realize that you have got to the responsibility of not hearing with your own personal emotions and experiences, but you have to hear with an anointed ear and an ear to say, okay, what would God do in this situation? It says here, God is with you. So today, wherever you are strategically positioned by God throughout this community, and I mean that when I say that, you are strategically positioned. Maybe you're not a judge. Maybe you're a construction worker. Maybe you are a secretary. Maybe you're in an office someplace. Maybe you're in retail like I was. You need to realize that you are strategically positioned by God to make a difference, and God is right there with you. You're not out there by your own, or by yourself, or on your own. He says, now therefore, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take care and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, no partiality, and nor taking of bribes. So as these people were supposed to be faithfully administering the judicial discretion that had been entrusted to them, he said, by the way, this God who is with you, the God that you are representing, this is a command from the king. You need to realize who he is. He is a God, in which there is no iniquity, there is no sin, there is no rebellion. There is no partiality. There is no one standard for this party, no a different standard for another party. There's not a standard for men and a standard for women. There's not a standard for the rich and a standard for the poor. There's not a standard for the popular and a standard for the obscure. There is just one standard, and that is the standard of righteousness. He says there's no partiality, and there is no taking of bribes. And he said, don't be basing your decisions on whether or not there is going to be financial compensation poured out to you. That is the way that Balaam tried to operate his life. And Balaam's situation didn't end well in Numbers, and it didn't end well in Revelation. It is spoken of in a negative light. You don't be operating your, fulfill your duties and your responsibilities in accordance with who can pay you the most money. And I will just say this, as a pastor, my response to the call at Merit Assembly of God was not because it paid the most money. In fact, it didn't pay any money. In fact, any of the positions that I've ever taken have not been about the money at all. And sometimes those situations worked out well. Sometimes those situations left me in a pretty serious strait financially, but there were rewards that were added to my life in such a way that were much, much better than money could. I answered the call of God one time and I met my wife. So that's a pretty good reward. Verse number 8. Moreover, in Jerusalem, for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies, Jehoshaphat appointed some of the Levites and priests and some of the chief fathers of Israel when they returned to Jerusalem. And he, the king, commanded them, saying, thus you shall act in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a loyal heart. Whatever case comes to you from your brethren who dwell in their cities, whether of bloodshed or offenses against the law or commandment, against statutes or ordinances, you shall warn them, lest they trespass against the Lord and wrath come upon you and your brethren. Do this, and you will not be guilty. And take notice, Amariah, the chief priest, is over you in all matters of the Lord, and Zedekiah, the son of Ishmael, the ruler of the house of Judah, for all the king's matters. Also, the Levites will be officials before you. Behave courageously, and the Lord will be with you. So here we're seeing people who have responsibilities, and Jehoshaphat sets out a chain of command. I know that in our modern times, we don't necessarily like that concept, but it is very much a biblical concept that there is a chain of command. And Jehoshaphat instructed the people who he was setting up in their positions to operate within that framework that he had instituted. He said, now there's going to be Amariah, the chief priest, and he's going to be the authority over all the matters of the Lord. And then there's going to be Zebediah, the son of Ishmael, and he's going to represent the authority in all the matters of the king. A concept that will probably be of great value to you is this, the concept of jurisdiction. Jehoshaphat was the king, and he said, I'm putting over you two different representatives. One is going to deal with matters related to the king, and so if you're dealing with a judgment of that would be the person that you would go to. The other is in the matters, the spiritual matters that you might deal with, the matters of the Lord, the violation of God's word. And when you are encountering a case that deals with that, then you need to deal with the appropriate authority. Authority is not a bad thing. It is a wonderful thing. I am so thankful for those that God has placed in authority over me. I don't look at them as a taskmaster. I don't look at them as oppressors. I look at them as a gift from God. I look at my pastors that I grew up under, and my presbyter that is there for me, and I view them as God's gift to me. And so I view myself as one of these people that has been placed in a jurisdiction. And what that jurisdiction does for me is it says, you know what? I will operate, I will not be negligent in the jurisdiction that God has given to me. But if I'm the pastor of Merit Assembly of God, if I tried to walk into a different church, I could not walk into there and say, hey, I'm the pastor, and so I expect my key to open all of the doors. I expect, wherever I need to get, that I'm going to be able to get there. My jurisdiction over Merit Assembly of God does not give me jurisdiction over other churches. Where many people get into problems with their applications of life is they begin to operate outside of the jurisdiction that they have. And so if you're a sheriff in one county, or a deputy in one county, your jurisdiction ends at the county line unless there is an extension given to you by those who are in actual authority of that. So make sure that you are operating in your lane. Make sure that you do not try to exert your judgment into an arena that you do not have jurisdiction for. If the Zebediah tried to deal with the matters of the Lord, he would have been operating outside of his jurisdiction. A king named Uzziah tried to operate outside of the realm of his jurisdiction. He said, you know what? All the other kings around here, they have their gods, and they go into their temple, and they offer sacrifices. And so he thought he would go into the temple of the Lord. And they said, you know what? You really shouldn't be here. You really don't want to do this. You're operating outside of your jurisdiction. And he said, no, I do. And he was struck with leprosy. And they said, you know what? You've been struck with leprosy. We think you should go. And all of a sudden he said, you know what? I think I'll go. Do a study on jurisdiction, and you will find that it will help you to live a lot less critical of a life, and you will have a lot more freedom to operate in your jurisdiction, because you're not going to be focused on things that aren't your responsibility to deal with. Okay, he commanded these judges that he had appointed. He said, "Thus you shall act in the fear of the Lord." Okay. Whenever you are set up in a position of authority over people, I encourage you to maintain the right attitude, and that is this. Understand that God is still there. God is still on the throne. God is still capable of understanding the thoughts and the intents of your heart and your life, and make sure that you remember he's God, you're not. Okay. Thus you shall act in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a loyal heart. So here again, we see faithfulness that is not just demonstrated in a spiritual sense, but faithfulness where we talked about yesterday, it was faithful in Jehoiada needed to be faithful in doing the repairs on the house of the Lord. He needed to be faithful to appropriate the resources. The men who were doing the work were faithful, and they didn't even have to give an account. There was such a high degree of faithfulness that they demonstrated that everybody could see what was going on. You know, there should be evidence of progress taking place. There should be evidence of movement that is taking place. And so here he tells these people, he said, you shall act faithfully and with a loyal heart. Do your job with faithfulness. No matter what that job is, if it's cleaning toilets, clean toilets, faithfulness. If it's sweeping floors, sweep the floors with faithfulness. Too many people are looking for the easiest, most convenient, and least demanding way to do a job. And I'm all for working smarter, but I'm not in favor of working lazily. That's not what God wants you to do. So be faithful with a loyal heart. And then the last sentence of chapter 19 says, behave courageously and the Lord will be with the good. Behave courageously and the Lord will be with the good. You see, there's always going to be situations that arise. There is going to be opportunities for compromise. There are going to be opportunities to act with unfaithfulness instead of faithfulness. But Jehoshaphat commanded the people chain of command, the flow chart of authority that he had corrected or that he had established, and he encourages them, don't take the road of compromise. Behave courageously. You know what this world needs? It is not fewer people of principle. It is more people of principle. It is people who say, you know what? This may not be the easiest season that I've ever gone through, but I am going to courageously be faithful to God, to the assignment that I have been given. I am going to operate with courage. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage says, even though I'm afraid, I'm not going to allow the fear to paralyze me. I am going to act in spite of the fear. And the last promise is made, and the Lord will be with the good. I'm telling you that when you are acting in faithfulness to God, when you are operating in the fear and the reverence of God, and you are representing Him well, God is going to make sure that you know, I'm right here, I'm with you, and I am well pleased with you. Take that concept with you to work today. Instead of going to work and saying, you know, I just hate my job, allow God to develop a different mindset in you and say, God, I love this job, and I'm going to represent you well today. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merit Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merit Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.